brand new MMA Roasted podcast brought to you by Sunfair. It's me, Adam Hunter, here with T-Rex.
What's up?
It's been a good week. I was in Marco Island all week.
You lucky son of a biscuit eater.
It was a good crowd. Good shows. I had the 7 shows. The average age was dead. But it was fun.
It's beautiful down there though, right?
Beautiful. Beautiful. I was in the beach, on the ocean. I was having a good time. I got relaxed a little bit. Today's my birthday.
Happy birthday there, handsome.
Thank you. What's up with you doing? What are you, Richard Little, right now? What's going on? Just be T-Rex, please. So
I don't know how to be T-Rex.
Thank you. It was a good week though, man.
That's awesome.
What else? I went on Tinder, right? Someone's like, you meet girls on Tinder, right? So I've been obsessed with this Tinder thing. I've only met one girl, which I already knew, but. The funny story. So this one girl's hot, like cougar chick who's on TV. She's on this Home and Garden Network. I mean, she's actually doing really well.
Can you say her name on the?
No, I'm not saying her name, right? But we're exchanging back and forth, right? She's like, you're very handsome, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, you're beautiful.
Were you afraid that you were being catfished at any point?
For a second, right? But I looked her up and she had all these profiles. You can go on their Facebook profile so you can see her, right? But then the next day, she's like, hey, I just want to tell you, I've met someone and we're exclusive now. Oh. And I'm like, I got dumped before the first date. This is like a new, I got preemptive dumped.
I don't know how to tell you this.
I'm like, we haven't even met yet. Pretty soon, people are going to go up to you and be like, sorry, it's not working out. Just random strangers are just going to break up with you. So that was my Tinder experience getting, but I don't know.
I mean, there's a guy here at Fox. I'm not going to say his name, but he swears by Tinder.
He looks like Old Man River, this guy. The guy walks around with bees in his beard, okay? And he's getting laid on Tinder. So I don't know. Maybe there's a hipster edition or something, but I don't know. It's very strange. How that guy, he swears by it. But I think, I don't know. You can do it, but it's like anything else. You got to put effort into it. I don't have freaking time to put effort into Tinder right now. I have enough. I started my new job today with YouTube and Fox Sports.
Congratulations on that.
Which is cool. I work with Steve Byrne today.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I love Steve.
That was cool. And it's weird having a 8:30 in the morning job.
Jesus.
Because like I didn't get home till like midnight.
Are you kind of hoping it doesn't work out?
No.
Is there a party that's hoping that?
Not really. I like getting paid, and it's a cool gig. It's fun. It's just like, you know, I'm trying to do 4 jobs right now.
Is this like a 9 to 5 or is it 8:30 to 4:30?
9 to 5, yeah.
Type thing?
Yeah, exactly.
Really?
Yeah.
Every day?
4 days a week, 5 days a week. I don't know. We'll see how this goes.
You should probably figure out how many days a week it is before you continue.
I might get preemptive fired. You know how I got preemptive dumped? My whole life is becoming preemptive something.
Well, your interview went very well. This isn't working out.
Yeah, exactly. How was your week?
Oh, it was great, man. You know, my kids now have management.
Yes.
Which is awesome.
My dad's managing your kids. We can call it like it is. Call it like it is.
I didn't know if you wanted that to be out
Go
there.
Go ahead. Yeah, my dad's a manager.
His dad's a manager, and he's a very eccentric guy. best friends with Alice Cooper.
He used to manage Alice Cooper.
And manage Alice Cooper or whatever. And so it was funny because we went to his house/office right on Sunset. And I call him from downstairs in the car. I'm like, all right, so where should I go in the building? There's like 3 or 4 different entrances. And he was like, where are you parked? And I was like, right here on Sunset. And he says, turn around. I'm looking right at you. And I turn around and he's up on the balcony, hanging out on the balcony. He's like, up here, go inside, make a right, get on the elevator, go to the 5th floor. So I got my kids out of the car. We go upstairs, open the door. And as he opens the door, he basically blows a bong load of weed like right in me and my kids' face.
My dad's gonna love this one. I'm not telling him to listen to this one.
I was like, hey, I know that smell.
My dad's a product of like the '60s.
Great dude, man.
He's the best. I love my dad. But
that condo is ridiculous.
In some ways, I'm like the parent. Because after you told me that, I actually called my dad. I'm like, I sent my friends over. Was there a weed? He's like, no, the whole building's smoking weed. It's not just me. He's like, it's not me. I go, you weren't high that day? Well, I'm not saying it wasn't high, but I'm saying I didn't take a bong hit before. And this is what I'm like, dad, this is my friend. This is a business thing. And he's like, oh, come on, Adam. Oh, Mr. Perfect. I'm like, so now I'm like scolding my dad, which is, explains my entire childhood, actually, in like some regards. But yeah, so my dad... you know, it's funny though. My dad, he'll tell me stories. Like, I was thinking about taking it back to my dad and Tinder. I'll put this all together and put it in a little bow and send it home. So, my dad used to tell me, Adam, you know, back in the day, we used to have these things called lovin's where you'd meet a girl on a field and you'd sleep with her, you know, right there, bang. You wouldn't even know her name. I'm like, you know, this is like in the '60s. It was great. My dad went arrested. He got arrested for selling drugs. I mean, he's, you know, he got bailed out of jail by Frank Zappa. I have stories after story. My dad. So
he's got cool pictures in his house, too.
Yeah, but I'm like the lovin's. I go, but then I'm thinking about like the '60s, how it was then. I'm like, now you got to go on Tinder to get a girl's Snapchat, to get her Instagram, to get her Facebook profile, to get her text, to then get dissed. It's like five steps. I want to go back to the lovin's.
Right, they didn't have Snapchat. They had Snatchchat. Where you just talked.
I love that.
Chat to a girl and get
the
snatch.
We're not cutting that out. That's hilarious. So, all right.
Chat her up, get the snatch.
All right, let's get to some fights. Thank you. I'm stealing that. Snapchat. Hilarious. Thank you. You get a residual laugh on that. So, Bellator this week. Should have been on Comedy Central. But honestly, I like all fighting. I like all fighting. To me, Bellator is like getting a handy. Not my first choice, but I will take it. Okay, so.
It's like getting a handy.
Now, the King Mo Rampage fight. I don't know if you guys saw this. Hopefully. It was ridiculous. So I thought I thought Mo was just going to take him down and grind him out, which is what his plan was. But King Mo, for some reason, is a little bit gun shy. And Rampage has power. I mean, power is the last thing to go on people. And every time he got hit, it looked like he was hurt, King Mo, in the second. I thought he won the fight.
There's controversy surrounding
I thought
all
he
that.
Won the first round and the third round. He didn't win to the point where you're like, it's a robbery. You could see how you could give it to Rampage based on damage done. And, you know, but after the fight, when they announced the winner, King Mo then called Bjorn Rebney. He goes, Bjorn, you're a dick riding ass. In the middle of.
What?
Yeah. He goes, I don't care about Bjorn, you dick riding ass. Which, can you imagine any fighter calling Dana White a dick riding ass? Like, what, the amount, I mean, they would literally be riding a dick riding ass out of the arena.
Right.
I could not. Bjorn Rebney.
Was he there? Did they show
Bjorn? He was right there. He was a foot away. He was 2 feet away. And then Rampage was like, thanks, Bjorn. Love you, buddy. Like, it was like such a ridiculous. But it was entertaining. It was 10 times more entertaining than for the fight.
Oh my God.
I even said in the rematch, they should flip a coin and just have a post-fight Yo Mama contest. It was unbelievable. It was someone else wrote that on Twitter, but it was hilarious.
Dixie Carter there with the wrestling?
It might as well. DDP was there, you know. But so that went on. Bjorn Rebney has lost control of Bellator because Will Brooks, last night on Twitter, Will Brooks won the fight against Michael Chandler. A five fight should have been a draw. I had Chandler winning the first, second. I think he lost the third, lost the fourth. But the third, he lost 10-8. I thought he almost got stopped. Won the fifth. It should have been a draw. But they gave it to Will Brooks, who took the fight on a week notice. He's a tough guy to fight. He's one of these guys who's very tall. He's like 6 foot something. He's strong. He's got good Greco-Roman wrestling. Chandler said he has the worst. So last night, Will Brooks goes on Twitter and has a meltdown. I was retweeting it all night long because it was hilarious. But saying, because now Eddie Alvarez, I mean, Bjorn Rebney says they're going to make the Eddie Alvarez Chandler 3. And then Will Brooks is like, you know what? I don't care about this organization. No fucks given. Bjorn Rebney, you know, I'm not going to be we're not going to be your puppets. Blah, blah, blah. Goes on this like 9-tweet rant to the point where, what's his name? Derek Brunson writes, Will, you're drunk. Go to sleep. Like, other fighters are telling him to stop tweeting. Right. And then Tito Ortiz fights Shlemenko, right? I had Shlemenko winning this fight.
I did too. Like, I think we talked about that.
But
last
then,
week.
when they, it looked like Shrek versus Mini-Me. Tito Ortiz walked in at 230 pounds. 237, I believe. And then Shlemenko was a 170 pounder. He had 60 pounds on him. Yeah, 60. I think he was 185, Shlemenko, but it looked like he had about 50 pounds on him. You could see the difference. And some people think it was a dive. Tito took him down. Shlemenko kind of went to his back in a weird arm triangle. It was a very strange circumstances. I think Tito won. I don't think he took a dive. I don't know why he would take a dive, but it was a strange night. And then afterwards, Jenna Jameson tweets, oh, yeah, picking on little people. You're a real tough guy. Why don't you fight Rampage?
Oh, my God.
So now Jenna's tweeting about Tito. They should have Bellator every night. It was entertaining as hell.
It's like a wrestling slash soap opera.
It sort of is. It sort of is. It's the only event where they actually drug test people who actually bought tickets. They don't drug test the fighters.
They drug test the people that are there.
But I don't know. I wrote, even though Mo won, I thought anytime you get to call your boss a dick riding ass on television and have him do nothing, we all win, because that was sheer entertainment. But then after the last night, Mo goes on Facebook and then he goes off on why he won, blah, blah, blah. You know, he goes off that he should have won. And then people are writing him like, hey, Mo, you really lost. You know, you suck. And then Mo is now responding to people on Facebook and goes, you mad because your baby's ugly. So that's what now Mo is fighting with people on Facebook.
Come on, man. You're better than that, Mo.
Yeah. I mean, King Mo, I think you were an Olympic alternate. You were, I think, second in the country in wrestling. You're a top-notch athlete. You don't need to fight people on Facebook saying their babies are ugly. There's no point. There's no winning there. No winning. But so anyway.
He also got Daniel out of a depression into MMA.
He's a great fighter. He's just, I think maturity is a factor in King Mo. So anyway. Last night, actually Sunday night, Renzo Gracie got into a brawl in New York City with seven of the Gracie. It was two of the Gracie brothers and a crew beat up a bouncer. Which sucks if you're a bouncer and then like
and you get bounced.
You're about to get bounced. Not only that, you're in a fight and then you realize it's Renzo Gracie beating you
probably
up.
Probably one of the worst people to fight in the street.
Oh.
Isn't there a video of Renzo Gracie beating up some dude on the beach?
No, he's that and there's a video of him tweeting while beating someone up. Someone tried to like. He's smoking a cigarette while tweeting while beating someone up. So basically,
please tell me you're kidding.
No, I swear. I actually said that he should have a course like tweeting while beating. Not a video of it. He's actually tweeting like somebody's about to attack me at the park. He's tweeting somebody's going to come after me, and then he beats the guy up while tweeting what happened. He live tweeted his beat up against a mugger. Don't mug Renzo Gracie if you're going to mug anybody.
Right. Do your homework.
But I actually, you know, they say MMA is illegal in New York. He's 2-0 in the last year. But so that was crazy. UFC 173 this weekend. Should we get to that after Cormier or before? Okay, UFC 173. We're gonna run it down. We're gonna run it down. TJ Dillashaw versus Barao. Oh, man.
Yikes.
Look,
you know where I'm going with this.
Let's go who I want to win, who I think is going to win. Who I want to win.
Dillashaw.
Barao has won 32 fights in a row.
He's too much of a beast.
He destroys everybody. I mean, but you know what? I got to say, look, TJ Dillashaw, if you would have told me TJ Dillashaw was going to be fighting Barao when he lost to the Ultimate Fighter in the Ultimate Fighter finale against John Dodson and got knocked out, I would have said, you're high. There's no, I mean, come on. I would be like, you know, TJ Dillashaw at that time, I thought was a guy who was a mid-level, you know, maybe a lower top 10 guy.
Like a journeyman type dude.
Not as better than a journeyman, a lower top 10 guy.
Right.
I wouldn't say he's fighting for the title. And he's a guy who proves everyone wrong. He busts his ass. He works his ass. That Team Alpha Male is a bunch of monsters.
Sometimes that's what it takes is to get your ass handed to you to like really turn it up.
You know what? I don't know. If I had to pick Barao, who I want to win, Dillashaw. I would not be surprised if Dillashaw won. Honestly, I think he's 3-1, 4-1, 5-1.
We are both in agreement on that one.
You know what? If I had to bet, I'd bet on Dillashaw because I would take the odds on that. Stranger things have happened. Daniel Cormier versus Dan Henderson.
Ugh. I love you, Henderson, but it's not going to be a good night for you, buddy.
I think that the only way that Cormier loses this fight is if he overlooks him. I don't think he's going to overlook Hendo. I don't think he's been through too much.
Yeah,
we're talking about a guy whose father was murdered at the age of 7 on Thanksgiving dinner.
His father was 7 when he was murdered?
No, his father was 7. We're talking about a guy whose daughter passed away in a car accident. We're talking about a guy who's been through hell and back, who's hungry, figuratively and literally hungry. And we're talking about a guy who's just on a mission to beat Jon Jones. And I think Hendo's got this. Not Hendo. I think DC's got this. I think he's got it. I think that Hendo looked terrible in his last fight against Shogun. Not terrible, but he was getting the crap beaten out of him for 2 rounds. I mean, murdered for 2 rounds. He came back and won it. He's in every fight. I just don't think that DC is going to be careless. Jake Ellenberger versus Robbie Lawler.
Jake!
I think this is the most action Jake's going to get. I got to go with my boy Ellenberger.
Ellenberger, 100%.
Yeah, and even if he wasn't my boy, listen, Jake Ellenberger's going to win this fight. He's going to win this fight. He's a monster. He's been training his ass off. He's a 3-1 dog, so bet on Jake. I heard if you bet like $100 on TJ Dillashaw and Ellenberger, you could win like a lot of money. Like, I heard it's like some kind of if you parlay that bet, you could make some money. I think Jake's going to pull it off. I think Robbie Lawler is coming off a war. Jake's had a year off. He's the most disciplined guy I know. He doesn't party. He doesn't drink. He doesn't do drugs. He doesn't
have sex.
Everybody that
with other people.
Everybody in the gym talks about what a monster he is. I think Jake's got this.
We were just watching, like on the TV screen back there, that the people that are listening can't see. They're just showing him train. And was that
countdown?
Oh yeah, the UFC countdown. They were just showing Ellenberger training, and dude, he is a straight up monster.
The guys that give Jake's fits are the guys like. Again, like Rory McDonald, the guys who don't want to really engage and fight, give him fits. I don't see a guy like Robbie Lawler is going to
get right in there.
Is going to go right in there. Although you could say the Martin Campman, I think Jake learned from that fight. I think he learned from Campman. So, Jake Ellenberger.
Ellenberger.
James Krause versus Jamie Varner.
Come on, Varner.
I'm picking Varner in this fight. Although, you know, you can't take too many shots from Abel Trujillo and expect to have a long career.
Right.
So it really depends on that. Michael Chiesa versus Trinaldo. Chiesa, I'm picking Chiesa. I think the syndicate moved to the gym. Plus, I don't know who Trinaldo is. But so Al Iaquinta versus Mitch Clark.
Allie.
He's been on our show. Ferguson has been on our show. Fine. Now, finally, our last segment before we get to Cormier. Dana White tweets, right? I think is one of the funniest things. So somebody tweeted, Dana White posted a picture.
You're an egg.
Of him and Chuck Liddell. And someone wrote, yeah, you know, Mayweather makes tens of millions and Liddell has only made tens of thousands. To which Dana responded, made tens of millions, fuckface. So that's my...
Liddell has made a lot of money.
Yeah, but the fact that he's going to say fuckface to somebody is brilliant.
It is. You got to love Dana.
Got to love Dana for that. So our next guest is one of the top women fighters in the world. She's a badass fighter. She's her last fight was one of the best fights I've ever seen in my life. Sarah Kaufman, how are you?
I'm doing quite well, thanks. How about yourself?
Good. Now, when we called, you're at a gym that you answered the phone to your own gym or something. What are you working at a front desk? What's going on here?
Yeah, well, I mean, I work full time as the office manager at the gym that I train at, Zuma Martial Arts. And then I also teach our little Bulldogs class, like the 3-5 group. I teach our kids' classes.
Aww.
And then a bunch of women's classes and co-ed classes and everything throughout the day. So I keep myself pretty busy.
Nice. That's I like that. I like how, first of all, that little Bulldogs is hilarious. 3-5, MMA 3-5.
So cute.
How cute is that?
That's a class that I want to take. I think I'll like do pretty well in that class. I'm not even sure. Probably not, actually.
I'm 27-0 against 5-year-olds, by the way.
I would bet on the, you have 27 5-year-olds.
That's what I have. That's what I have.
Now, now, Sarah Kaufman, your last fight against Leslie Smith was, it was a bang, a shoot-em-up bang fight. Because I actually watched both fights against Leslie. Your first fight against her, which you got knocked down in the second round, it was pretty close. Now, how hurt were you, by the way, at that first fight when she knocked you down with that kick?
Honestly, not really that hurt at all. I mean, I kind of saw it coming too late, and I was just a little bit relaxed. And mostly I kind of bit off balance and turned my chin a bit, you know, ended up on my butt. And then right away I was like, now I'm squished down at the bottom. This sucks. What a dumb idea. You know, make sure she doesn't kick you in the face again because that's stupid. So, I really was fine.
You're
in a bad position and having her trying to throw some hard ground and pound on me. So I was happy when we were able to get back up and then I could lay in some more leather.
Oh, nice. Well, you have very nice thoughts. I would have been like, shit. That sucks. But you're...
It doesn't hurt that much for the most part. I know something like that. It's like, as they say, like you kind of get touched. You don't even feel like you got hit that hard. Like, you know, some toes clipped my face and down I went. And amazing photo that Esther Lynn got where it's like my hands are in the air. I look like a weirdo. My eyes are going all weird. Hilarious. So good.
That's like T-Rex on Tuesday nights.
Tonight.
Now, but your last fight, you completely dominated Leslie Smith. What do you think was the difference?
I think that, you know, I was coming off of a good fight as well, and so my head was pretty focused, and I just didn't let her get the distance that she wanted. I mean, in our first fight, the biggest thing that she landed was, you know, those head kicks. And usually it was her toes that were kind of clipping my face over and over again. Like, I'm pretty sure her toe went in my mouth at some point in the first fight. And I hate feet, by the way. So, I just think that I distanced it a lot better, and I kept the pressure on it and really, really just mixed up some of the combos and was a little bit less predictable.
Why do you hate feet?
Oh, they're gross.
Hello?
Oh, sorry. Why do I hate feet?
Yeah, why do you hate feet so bad?
I thought you said something else and I didn't understand.
No, I said, why do you hate feet so bad?
I always have. I don't know. I don't like touching my own feet. I don't like other people touching my feet. I just think feet are gross. I mean, who likes feet? They're weird.
Did her big toe look like a liquor store pickle?
My big toe might look like a liquor store pickle. I don't know.
Rex Ryan likes feet. He's a coach of the Jets. Now after your fight, you've been on a tear calling people out. People seem to be ignoring you. You called out Misha Tate, saying you were not very impressed with her during her fight. Correct?
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I wanted the winner of Liz and Misha, or I want Kat Zingano, and Misha got the win. I actually thought that Liz won the fight, not because she beat Misha up, but just based on how fights are scored. You know, I thought that Liz won 2-1, and Misha looked like she was super dominant in round three, but until that point, she was kind of asleep at the wheel, and so I just wasn't that impressed with how she fought, and I think she normally fights differently than that, so I was actually surprised. But soon she got the win, I was happy with that. And then afterwards, you know, she's on, you know, on UFC on Fox and a couple other places has said she wants to fight me, but then since hasn't really responded and, you know, kind of said, oh, well, you know, I don't want to get into anything. I'm not trying to get anything started, but if you say you want to fight me and I say, come on, let's do it, you know, at least respond back saying, yeah, let's, you know, get the UFC on this.
So do you think she's ducking you?
I definitely think that she's conveniently managed to distance herself and try to not call attention to the fact that she said she wants to fight me, and maybe she said that because I had said I wanted to fight her. I don't think she wants to get knocked out, that's for sure. And that's a pretty high likelihood. She's going to get hit a lot, at least, if I fight her again. So I'm not surprised that she hasn't really responded.
I love it. Let's just say that she's listening right now. What would you say to her?
Misha, you asked for a rematch, you know, before we fought, you know, 3-minute little girl rounds, and you said that that was the reason that you lost the fight. I'm saying let's just do it for real and do it in the UFC and get people to watch it.
Nice.
What about Brian Caraway? Would you fight him?
I have nothing against Brian, to be fair, but I mean, I guess if they paid me enough, but it's kind of a freak show event, so I'd rather just fight the girls that get me hired to a title fight.
Now, okay, so you called out Misha.
I like this girl.
Of course, Sarah's great. Now, you also called out Kat Zingano. Is that someone else do you think is ducking you as well?
I don't think Kat's ducking me at all. I mean, I think Kat's in a position where she's sitting in the number one contender spot. She's gone through a lot this last year, and I can respect that she's been dealing with all of those things, injuries and personal life itself. I just think that it would be a great fight, and she's been sitting on the sidelines. You know, my thoughts is if I was a fighter, I probably wouldn't want to jump right into a title fight after having been injured and sitting out for over a year. And, you know, Ronda's busy with Alexis Davis, so, you know, take another fight and really prove that you're that number one spot and then go for the title if you win. But I also get how being the number one spot, you might want to just sit out and wait, I guess.
Right.
I don't know. I don't think she's ducking me by any means, but I do think that it would be a great fight and a really exciting fight
Yeah, I mean, she might
lose her number one spot, you know?
A couple of things. Now, there's never been a knockout yet in the women's division in the UFC. Obviously, in other, you know, Titan and other things, there have been knockouts. Why do you think that is, and do you think you're going to get the first knockout?
I hope I get the first knockout. I mean, it's been a while for me since I got a really clean knockout, and I would love another one. You know, I think partially it's the level of people that are fighting. You know, everyone's playing a bit cautious or not really wanting to get hit. I mean, a lot of girls don't really like getting hit. A lot of guys don't like getting hit. I'm kind of in the minority there, but...
Wait, you like getting hit?
I mean, I do. Like, who?
So, I think
if I went into a fight and got a one-punch knockout, I'd be super happy, but I'd also secretly kind of be like, oh, I didn't even get hit. Like, I feel like I didn't even fight.
So your ideal man, you're like ideal man is Chris Brown?
not Jay-Z in an elevator.
I don't know.
Okay, right. I think you would destroy Chris Brown, by the way. I would put
Thank you. I mean, I hope so, since I train to fight and he trains to be a jerk. I don't know.
Exactly.
we'll see. But you would love
so
the knockout
cute.
For sure.
Yeah. But you also trained to dance. People don't know that. You were a trained dancer, correct?
Yeah, I was. I danced for 19 years.
What?
Yeah, you were going to go to med school, and you were a dancer in med school, and then you're like, you know what? I'm going to be a fighter. Now, did your parents have heart attacks? Did they leave the country? I mean, if I have a daughter who's a dancer and going to med school, then says, you know what? I want to punch people in the face for a living, I'd probably be a little bit confused. I'd probably be pretty stoked, actually. But how did your parents react?
I mean, to be fair, I don't actually really know. I moved out when I was in grade 12 and kind of done my own thing since then. So I don't know what they think about it. I don't really care what they think about it, to be fair. You know, I've never really been that close with my family. But I don't know. At the same time, you have to support, you know, your kids, your friends, your family, whoever it is. If that's something that they're passionate about and that they're committed to, I think you want to support them. You know, if it's something that someone just randomly drops everything, you'd be like, you know what, I've never trained. You know, I think I'm gonna go do this, but I don't even know if I'm gonna be good at it. You know, it's a little bit rough, I think.
So you're not close with your family at all? I mean, you kind of.
No, I haven't talked to them in years.
Oh, man.
Really? Do you have brothers and sisters?
I do. I also haven't talked to them in years either. I've always been a little bit of a black sheep in my family, so now I have surrogate families that I get along with really well.
That's really sad. I mean, I haven't talked to my mom since I was three, I could kind of identify.
It's not that bad. It's part of life, and I think, you know, you don't get to choose your family, and so once you're of an age where you can make those decisions, you really should make those decisions that better your life, and for me it was being really independent and being out on my own, and I've loved it. I mean, I've really, really kind of flourished and thrive. So
no,
I like it.
Yeah, you absolutely have. I'm just saying that if I was a parent and I had you as a daughter, I'd be super proud of someone like you, and I'd wanna. And you being a former a champion in so many different levels, I'd wanna, you know, celebrate with you if you were my daughter. So that's why it's kind of sad on that level. I don't know exactly what happened with you and your family, so I can't make judgments. If you want to tell us, that's great. If not, I respect that too.
Honestly, there isn't really much to tell. It's you know, as I say, I was just very different, very independent, kind of a different lifestyle. I wanted to be really healthy. You know, they weren't the healthiest growing up, and that's not a reason to move out because your family's overweight. But I think, as I say, just lifestyle-wise, I was super stressed. You know, personalities, we kind of clashed a bit, and moving out on my own was the right thing to do for me and enabled me to focus on schooling. And then when I decided not to go to school, it forced me to do well at whatever I was choosing to do because I didn't have a fallback plan to go get money from someone.
Saying that you were stressed growing up, has MMA given you stress relief?
Absolutely. I actually didn't realize how kind of uptight I was. And I would still say I'm uptight, but I was more uptight before.
You're pretty uptight.
you know, I think when I first started kickboxing, I just realized how relaxed I felt after class and didn't kind of put the two and two together that I was actually really stressed out and kind of all coiled up. And it definitely gave me a really positive outlet for for just kind of feeling better, both, you know, emotionally, physically, and it's fun hitting stuff, whether it's people's faces or pads. It's really enjoyable.
Yeah, I bet, and you're very good at it, which is cool. I definitely, you know, I think if I was your boyfriend, I would be very cautious with you because you seem like the kind of person that wins a lot of arguments. Now, or just leaves and never comes back. Now, now I gotta say, what do you think of the whole four horsewomen thing that's going on right now between Ronda and Marina Shafir and Jessamyn Duke and Shayna Baszler? You think that's good for women's MMA? Is it becoming too much like pro wrestling? How do you equate with that? What's your feelings on this?
I don't know if you can say it's good for women's MMA. I mean, I think it's good for, you know, Shayna and Jessamyn. You know, they're getting publicity off of, you know, riding Ronda's coattails a bit. But I also think that Ronda, you know, I read an interview where she kind of said, you know, I was the champ and I was driving home by myself and had no one to talk to. You know, I think that she's probably pretty lonely and doesn't have a lot of people maybe that she can trust or whatnot. I'm not exactly sure. I'm not in her shoes. You know, when I had the title, you know, I had lots of people around me that I got along really well with. And so I wasn't really in that boat. So I think for her, it's probably comforting to have, you know, a couple ladies who support her back. That being said, I don't know. I think I would feel really silly posing in every picture with four fingers up. That's just me. A lot of people, you know, even just around the gym or in kind of the MMA community, you know, I've heard a lot of people say, like, enough of this four horsewoman thing. You know, you have to kind of fight and do well. You know, and for Marina, I mean, she's at a heavier weight. She doesn't even get to fight at 135. So maybe it's just something fun they started doing because they like pro wrestling, and then other people kind of picked it up, and now they're just sticking with it. I mean, I thought what Beth did was, or Betch.
I
don't know how to say her name. Betch, maybe? I mean, I actually didn't even realize what she was doing until, you know, Shayna got all upset about it, and, oh, you know, it's disrespectful. I mean, it's not disrespectful. You know, she said thank you. She's, you know, hyping her next fight, four down, you know, one down, three to go. I mean, that's fighting, and if anything, that's what, you know, they're trying to go for, the whole WWE kind of pro wrestling, you know, we're a team. I mean, that's pretty much what they do in wrestling, you know.
This girl I was dating got very upset because, like, I was paying homage to them and I put four fingers in her, and she got really upset with that. Hello?
Hello?
It was a joke. Come on, I'm a comedian. Hello. Is this thing on? All right, so I have to say, Sarah.
Yes.
Okay, so your Twitter exchanges with Jessica I are very entertaining. We at the show, we're fans of Jessica I. We're fans of you as well. So we're not picking sides. But is this going to continue to go on forever? Is this ever going to end?
I mean, I don't know. Someone else brought it up. I mean, I don't even know who started it. There's some egg on Twitter, and they started something.
You're an egg.
You know, they tweeted her, and then she responded to it, which made me respond. Because I'm like, well, if you're going to start this, you know, I'll just put up something quick. And then she just lost her shit. And, you know, it's funny. It's really entertaining. I mean, sometimes I don't even understand how much she tweets. I don't understand what she's saying. Like, I need someone to decipher it for me and actually point out that she's trying to insult me because she's using, like, words that don't exist or that are in the entirely wrong context. But it's funny.
Right. Okay, all right. So it's more just a kind of fun for you now. I mean, do you want to rematch with her?
Honestly, I said I'd rematch her, like, the next day. I mean, I know that I won the fight. And now it's a no contest, so it's not on our records either way. But definitely, you know, once she gets a win, you know, I think that fight will happen. And when it does happen, there's going to be a lot of kind of some heated exchanges, I'm sure, that are going to be said, and fans are going to be on her side or my side or whatever they want to be. But there's going to be some good hype behind our rematch when it happens.
It will. It was a very good fight. The first fight was very good. You know, you're never in a boring fight. You're never in a boring fight. And,
yeah, I don't want to be in a boring fight because I get bored. If I'm in a boring fight, I'm bored.
Well, Sarah, you're very feisty today, which I like this new Sarah Kaufman.
I like it too.
I got to say, the first time we talked, it was kind of depressing. But now,
I love the way you keep it real.
I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. You're a whole different Sarah Kaufman. I like it. I like it. I like it. I like it. We love having you on the show. Thank you. I know that you said no more. No. I can't ask you about boys anymore. So I'm not making. I'm not asking any about boys.
How about men?
Or men?
No.
But thank you for coming on the show.
No, thanks for having me. It's been great.
And where can people find you?
People can find me on Twitter, at MMA Sarah. Also on Facebook, I have my fan page. And then I do have a website as well, which I should update more often than I do, but I have an email there that people can hit me up on, and I can answer any questions they have, or if they want to hate me, they can send me a message saying they hate me. That's all right, too. I'm kind of getting used to it.
No, fuck that. Nobody should hate you. Nothing that you did.
I hope not. Canadians, we are nice. Even if we say nasty things, we're still nice.
I'm half Canadian, so I...
Oh, see? That's why I kind of like you. I half like you.
Oh, thank you very much.
You're stand-up Canadian?
Yes. Well, take care, and have a great day.
Thanks. You too, guys.
Thanks, Sarah. Bye.
Bye.
All right, that was Sarah Kaufman.
She's a sweetheart, man. She's kind of, her personality is cute to me.
It is, right? Yeah. I could tell that you were like getting a...
She's a little cutie pie.
She's tough, man. A little cutie. That girl could fight.
Hell yeah.
That girl can fight.
That's the worst. Like, she says that fighting is a stress relief. Could you imagine if you were dating her and she comes home and she's like, I'm so stressed. I'm like, you just start packing your stuff and getting the hell out of the
house. Jump out the window. Screw that, man. I'd like to thank our sponsor, Carl at Sunfair, who keeps us fed and healthy. How's it going, Carl?
Hey, it's it's going well. It's going well. We're working hard right now with Jake Ellenberger. We just shipped him some food off today to take to Vegas.
Nice.
And Mark Munoz, he's right on track too. Last count, he was 209, getting ready to get down to 185.
Really?
Nice.
So he's a 209, so he has to lose, 15, 24 pounds.
24 pounds, yeah.
And how, what, 1 week, 2 weeks?
In 2 weeks. It's a process. I'm working with his nutritionist. His nutritionist's name is Sam, and he's got him going just a methodical process. We started, right now we're at 1,750 calories. We dropped him down 100 calories on Monday. That's going to take us to Friday. We're going to do another drop, and then we'll ship food with him, ship food to take for him to take with him.
Now, let's say I'm not a professional athlete, because I know let's just say that, to the people out there, there are people out there that, like, okay, a guy like Jake Ellenberger or Mark, there's only so many guys that you could sponsor that are athletes. Let's say I'm just like, I'm a guy, I train, go to the gym 3 or 4 days a week, I'll take a class here and there. How can this help me?
Well, that's the great thing about it. We've got a price point at $39.95 a day that's affordable for everybody. So we can give you the same type of nutrition, 1,600 to 1,800 calories for men, 12 to 1,400 calories for women. It's made fresh daily. It's delivered to your home, and it's reasonably priced. So it's going to be clean, healthy, fresh food that's delivered right to your doorstep in the middle of the night.
Because you get like three full meals plus snacks for that, right?
Yeah, plus two snacks. Like we get.
See Jake bringing some of those snacks in here, and those snacks look amazing.
Oh, they're great.
He's just there eating in front of us sometimes, and I'm like,
no, 40 bucks a day. Do I have to pay for the delivery?
No, delivery's included. Some of the snacks are cauliflower rice. There's mixed berry bowls in there,
which I had that before. That was delicious.
Yeah, they're very good, and it's really fresh. We get the best food. We get the best quality of food. A lot of it's organic.
A lot of times I eat healthy, and then I fart all day, or I stink. I like smell. I'll have oatmeal in the morning, and no one wants to be around me. But your food, has that happened? Honestly, I eat your food, I don't fart at all. Is there, how come I eat your healthy food and don't stink?
Well,
I'm telling you.
The key is you're getting fiber-rich fruits and vegetables. You're getting chemical and hormone-free meat and chicken, fresh fish. That salmon that you just ate, the herb-grilled salmon, that was brought in fresh. So,
I had a girl one time that was, she took care of me, let's say, and she was like, wow, you taste great. And I was like, that's Sunfair. That's what I told her. I sold Sunfair, and she was like,
those fresh pineapples.
Yes, I'm telling you. So
that's a great quality to have.
Yeah. I'm telling you. So guys, pick up Sunfair. Not only will you get healthy and ripped, but your girlfriend will be happy.
And girls love it too.
By the way, Carl, where can people find you?
You can find us a couple of places. You can go to sunfair.com, at Sunfair on Twitter. You can Facebook. I'm Carl at sunfair.com. If you want to email me direct, I'll get you information. I'll get you pricing and just take care of people. You can call us 323-780 0888 or 1-866 Sunfair.
Well, thank you, Carl. Thank you for everything.
Thank you.
All right, so our next guest is got a huge fight coming up against Dan Henderson this weekend. If he wins, he gets the title shot.
Yeah.
Personally, I think he's the next 205 champion.
He is. I can guarantee it.
And he's one of my favorite people. Honestly, I said that about a lot of fighters. I lie about most of them. But this guy is honestly one of my favorite people. Daniel Cormier, how are you, man?
I'm doing pretty good, man. How you boys doing?
We're doing great.
So you're 40. You're like four days out.
Todd,
yeah.
Todd. Lotus flower bow.
All right, that was the gayest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. Thanks, guys.
Adam, Todd's my lotus flower bow.
You're his lotus flower bow? What is that?
Lotus flower bomb. You know that song, Lotus? It's a long story, but.
Yeah, it's a long story. It's something we've been doing for years. It never gets old.
Obviously not. So how are you, man? So you're 4 days out of the probably the biggest fight of your life. How are you feeling?
I feel pretty good, man. Just kind of laying around now. You know, my kids are sleeping. That's why I'm being quiet. You know, you know if you have kids that you can't really be too loud because you wake them up in the middle of a nap. It's like waking up a sleepwalking person, like on Step Brothers.
Dude, his,
you don't want to do that.
His son looks exactly like him.
He's 280 pounds?
Pretty much.
Really?
He's a big-ass little kid. He looks exactly like his dad.
Nice. How old is your son?
My son is 3 now, man. He's 3. He turned 3 in February. My daughter turned 2 in March. So we had 2 kids in 13 months. It's fast.
Nice. Now, congratulations, man. I mean, you're a role model, man. You can't say that about many people. You're a legitimate role model. Now,
thank you, man. I appreciate that.
No worries, right, man. Now, how much do you weigh right now?
This morning I was 217, so I'm like 11 pounds overweight.
Wow.
Over 206. You know, so I'm in good position.
I know from people that like have hung out with you, when you eat, you eat for like 9 people. It's like the Last Supper. Everything. How did you manage to get your weight down?
I mean, you know, I want to be a champion, man. And you know, as much as I love eating, because I mean, I can sit. And you know, Todd's been there with me before. When Todd and Sarah were sponsored, you know, we'd go to dinner and I'd run up the bill by myself. No,
he's not lying.
My desire to be the champion is greater than anything else. You know, I mean, I want to be the champion. I knew that this is my opportunity, and I had to change some things. You know, so I got a nutrition sponsor, Nutrie. They take care of all my supplemental needs and all my my protein and all my stuff like that. And I just eat a lot cleaner, man. I'm eating stuff this week that has nothing in it, bro. They take the chicken. I even ordered it last time at the Mandalay Bay. I said, give me a chicken breast with some carrots and rice. And they said, okay, the chicken breast was like some sort of seasoning on it. I said, I don't need that seasoning. They said, well, what do you want on it? I go, nothing. Take it out of the packet, put it right on the grill and cook it just like that and send it up to my room. And send some lemon because I can squeeze lemon on my chicken. I get no salt. I get nothing. It's killing me.
Ugh.
Now, I mean, I remember you saying that you're going to beat Hendo because you're hungrier. Are you literally hungrier, or are you just hungrier?
I was literally hungry. I'm more hungry than he is. Yesterday, Hendo and I went to LA. That dude weighed 203 pounds. 203 pounds.
Did you try to eat him?
I will on Saturday night.
Nice. Now, we have a question from the underground from Team Quest North, who obviously the guy probably trains with Hendo. He's a big fan of the show. But he said he wants to know if you plan on standing with Hendo or just taking the boring route of lay and pray and wall and stall.
I mean, listen, I'm going to fight wherever I feel comfortable. If it's better to take him down, I'll take him down. But am I afraid to stand with Dan Henderson? Not one bit. I mean, I can box and kickbox with anybody in mixed martial arts. So every fight starts standing. You know, if anybody has a chance to stay on their feet, it's Dan Henderson, right? He's an Olympian just as I am. So if Dan can stop me from taking him down, then I guess the fight's going to play out on its feet. I'm not afraid to stand with him, though.
But he was an Olympian back in Sparta. Now, But don't you think
Adam, that's why you're on the late night talk show, because you're funny.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you. Now, no, but don't you think that with Hendo, that his one chance of beating you is landing that overhand right? And you know that if you win this fight, you get to fight John Jones next. So aren't you kind of tempted a little bit to just kind of just, all right, let's just grind this out. If it's boring, it's boring. Let's just win this fight.
I got to win the fight. I mean, regardless of how the fight looks. You know, I say this with as much respect as I can, because I respect Dan so much, but Dan Henderson can't beat me over the course of a 15-minute fight. I can. Dan Henderson won't submit me, but I can submit Dan Henderson. Dan Henderson has a chance to win this fight, and it's by knocking me out. If he doesn't do that, I don't feel like he can beat me. And I say that with as much respect as I can have for him.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. He has that old man strength. he has like that grandpa man strength. But it's gonna be. I can't wait. I can't wait. And I've been saying this since the beginning of the show. I think that you're the guy to beat John Jones. I think that I think that you match up best with him. I think that especially at 205. I look at your record. I mean, you've been. You know, you knocked out Bigfoot Silva. I don't think John Jones could knock out Bigfoot Silva. I mean, granted, maybe anyone could knock out anybody with the right punch, but you straight up knocked out. Now, do you worry, though, that your power left with your gut?
No. I think I hit harder now because I'm faster. My speed and technique, that all brings power. You know, it's not just, well, I punch hard. It's speed and technique. You know, that equals power, too, so I think I'm actually hitting harder now than I even did as I was bigger because I'm hitting people more often. I'm able to keep a higher pace longer. I just do a lot of things better at this weight, you know, and it feels good, man. I do things a lot better at this weight.
You're
right. I don't think John could knock these guys out. But there are a lot of guys, you know, that I'm not sure they could beat the same guys that I beat. And I'm not sure they could beat him in the way that I beat him. And that's how you look at matchups, you know?
Yeah, I don't see John Jones beating Josh Barnett. I don't even know if I see him beating Frank Mir. I mean, and those are guys that you manhandled.
Dude, your destruction of Josh Barnett was ridiculous.
I mean,
that is my greatest fight to date because he's so good. He brought out the best in me. He made me fight at a level that I never even knew I could fight, actually. And I think that's going to happen on Saturday, too. I think you're going to see the best version of me on Saturday because I just respect Dan so much and I think so highly of him. It feels like the Barnett fight. It feels like the fight that's just going to make me fight better than I ever have in my life.
Now, after you beat Pat Cummings, did you order a coffee?
I was kind of making jokes even leading up to the fight because he was talking so much. But I'm not a big coffee drinker, man. I think I had my fill on February 22nd. You know, I took the barista out to the backyard, took care of him.
I know this director, Pat Cummings, because I know Pat Cummings. He used to hang out at Mayhem's house. They were roommates, and I was friends with Mayhem, and I would see Pat Cummings all the time. And I liked Pat Cummings, but you were right. He was in over his head. You can't just walk into a fight with Daniel Cormier. I give him respect. The guy's got more balls than anybody I've ever seen in my life. I mean, the fact that he was willing to never have four fights or five fights and to walk into a fight with you on a week notice, there's not many people that can do that. So
he just didn't want to put on that apron anymore.
He deserves respect. He deserves respect, but you know what else he did? Well, he actually got exposure at a level that most people don't ever get in the UFC. A lot of guys, you're lucky if you get to fight on the main event of Fox Sports 1. He got to fight in the co-main event of a big pay-per-view. You know, so he reached levels that most guys won't ever see, you know, and he also got his contract. You know, he has another fight. I think Pat's going to be okay. You know, he was in over his head, man. I mean, when he walked out of that tunnel, he had to be thinking like, "Holy shit, I'm sorry,
this is real."
Like, you know, he's like, "Holy cow, you know, holy cow, 13,000 people in here," and that's when it hits you. All the interviews, all the other stuff, it all wears on you, man. Right as you're walking into the cage, I said it time and time again. Adam Todd, I said, "I've done this. I've walked this walk. I've done this dance before." He hasn't. This is gonna be new to him. I've been doing this since the Olympics. You know, he never really did that. So
I mean, honestly, on a very, very smaller scale of It's like kind of with comedy with me and Todd. It's like you get these guys. Oh, I could be funny, and then you put them up in front of a crowd, and it's not the same. It's not the same as making your four friends laugh,
right?
In you know the back of a car. It's not the same. You might get lucky once or twice, but you can't do it over. It's a skill. And Pat Cummings might be everyone that was people were picking Pat Cummings. People that train with Pat Cummings are picking him. Jake Ellenberger said he had a shot of beating you. So I was like, I guess everyone technically has a shot. But I was like, holy shit, maybe this guy is for real. But then it just made no sense.
I mean, all the hype behind people, you know, saying that people are refusing to fight this guy. Like, how many fights did people back out of with him? Like 20 fights?
Yeah.
Whatever it was.
Yeah.
And so everybody was like, damn, this guy must be a beast. Well, all these people are backing out of fights. He's not fighting.
Yeah, right. Now, what did you say to him afterwards?
Get me a coffee. Where's my latte?
Nothing?
I have not spoken a word to him since the fight.
Right.
I haven't spoken a word to him, man. It's just we haven't had a chance to be around each other or have the opportunity to talk either. You know, it's not due to some ill will. It's just because the opportunity really hasn't been there. I tell you one thing, though. When I was getting ready for Henderson and I needed partners, I actually reached out to his management and said, hey, could Patrick Cummins come up and train with me? Because I needed bodies.
You just wanted to make him cry.
No. And what did they say? They said, sorry,
I feel about someone. If they are going to help me prepare, I'll use them.
Well, how come Pat Cummins didn't come? He had an order at a...
he said he had his own thing going on. You know, he had his own fight, and he was getting ready for his fight and just didn't want to leave his training camp, which is fine, but I would have probably preferred him. I'd have said, hey, I get a chance to work out with this guy. Why not? You know, it's probably better than what I'm getting, you know, here or something different at least, you know, so.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was kind of weird, but, you know, maybe he just wasn't ready to move past everything and start training together.
Yeah, well, he did screw him up. Although he did land a couple of punches on you, I have to say. He did land some, and you said that his speed, he was the fastest guy you've ever fought.
Yeah, he was moving faster than me because I was so used to heavyweights, you know, and at heavyweight, it was like they're just extremely slow. So even if Pat was like, if he wasn't like the fastest 205-pounder, he was much faster than the heavyweights. Much, much faster.
So a couple other things.
It didn't hurt, though.
Now, I know that you've been very vocal since the incident we're not allowed to talk about when you got into John Jones's face because he snubbed T-Rex. We're not going to discuss that, but that was awesome. Now, I know that you said that you want to serve John Jones some humble pie, which is crazy because you're giving up some of your food. But
that's how you know he means it.
That's how he means it. Now, is that on your mind at all? Are you still thinking about John Jones? Are you the kind of guy that does not think about the person past the guy you're fighting, or you're that confident you could think of him too?
No. I'm not thinking about John Jones right now. The only time John crosses my mind is when people ask questions about him. You know, I'm focused on Dan Henderson, especially this week. You know, if nobody asked a question about Jones all week, I would never say his name. He doesn't go across my thoughts or anything. You know, my focus is Dan Henderson, man. I've got to get through this guy. And if I don't, everything that I hope and dream for, you know, that Jones has, I never even get the opportunity to pursue it. It's gone. So I think we saw that with
Phil Davis.
With Phil, you know, like Phil was so wanting to beat John and got so worked up that he ended up losing to a guy that, you know, we all thought he could beat.
Yeah, another guy that I thought that King Mo was going to beat Rampage last week. I still think he won that fight. It was closer than I thought.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Man, I thought he won the fight. You know what I mean? He scored, third round, he secured the takedown. He had top position for more than half of the round. And even when they were punching each other, they were kind of almost like, it's not like Quentin was hitting them 3-4 times in a row to no responses from Mo. You know, like maybe Mo wasn't hitting them with the same sort of power, but they were just kind of trading shots. Like Quentin would land a punch and Mo would land a jab or something. And it was all like one for one, you know? So the most effective thing that happened in the round was him taking him down and actually controlling him on the ground. You got to remember, a guy doesn't want to lay on his back in the round for like 2.5 minutes. He wants to get up. You're not allowing him to. So I thought he won that fight. It was pretty easy to call, actually.
Didn't you tell me at one point that that Mo in practice like hit you in the face and you said it felt like his knuckle came through the glove?
That was a punch. He hits so hard. I guess he hits hard, man.
Yeah.
You know, he hits really, really hard. One time, he punched me, and I felt like his knuckle came through the glove in practice.
I feel like with King Mo, it's a matter of, you know, he's one of those guys. I think also with Chael, there are certain guys that are so good in practice, and they show it in some fights. They don't show it in all their fights, but the guys who train with them know how good they can be, which is why they get probably the most frustrated. Because I know that people who train with Chael say that they were picking him over John Jones because they're like, you know, Chael beasts out in practice. He destroys everybody.
Oh, yeah, consistency, too. It's like consistency, you know. You see guys just you know, they'll look like world beaters in one fight, and the next fight they're not as dominant or, you know, they don't seem as good. You know, and if there's anything that I think Jones should be most proud of, what I'm most proud of, and, you know, guys like... you know, guys that have fought at the top of the sport for a long time, it's just being so consistent. Jones, he barely ever loses any fashion of any fight. Anderson was like that for a long time.
GSP.
Even, you know, John Fitch, when John Fitch was number two behind GSP, he never lost he wasn't losing any areas in any fight. So it's like, those are the guys that you kind of look to be like, and that's what I'm most proud of about my career. You know, I just being so consistent over the course of 14 fights so far.
Yeah, no. I think somebody did. I think it was Kevin Ioli did an article about you, saying that you were probably the most perfect fighter, based on, you know, shots taken versus shots received and takedowns and
100% takedown defense. If I'm correct,
just don't let it get to your head, man.
No, it's not getting to my head. It's something I strive to keep going. You know, like those things actually mean something to me. Like I like knowing that nobody's taking me down. I like that I don't get hit very much. I like that I win every round that I fight. You know, so yeah, that means something to me.
I gotta ask you, that is awesome. I was watching your college match against Cale Sanderson for like the third time, actually. And people don't know Cale Sanderson. He was 159-0 in college.
Jesus.
He was considered the best wrestler of all time.
That is ridiculous.
Along with Dan Gable. It's a, you know, neck and neck who was the best. Some people say Cale. You were down 5-2. In the third period, you're down 5-2, which in itself is an amazing feat. You take him down. It's now 5-4 with a minute left. Now you in wrestling you can cut a guy, which means you let him up. He gets 1 point, then you would then try to take him down. It'd be 6-6 at that point. You cut him, but it was kind of a lazy cut, or something happened where he got you with a takedown, and it was so sad. And
so sad.
Now, what goes through your head the rest of that time? How much do you relive that? How much do you replay that? Talk to me about that.
It was just sad, man. It was like the opportunity of a lifetime. I just pretty much gave it away. I mean, I'm not saying I would have beaten him, but I would have given myself a chance to actually be in the match. And I was lazy. You know, I tried to let him go on the edge, and Cale never stopped wrestling. That's what made him so special. Even when we wrestled in practice afterwards, he would never stop wrestling. Every moment in the match, he was looking at the score, and I did that. You know, I think back on it at times, but more than anything, I think the experience of Cale Sanderson is knowing that all year, for 2 years, I prepared to be the best that there was, and I think that's going to come into play later in my career when I fight Jones, because people think Jones is like that guy that's unbeatable. And I prepared for that guy for 2 years when I was a 20-year-old kid. That'll help me, you know, as I prepare for this guy. The situation won't be new to me, you know, fighting an uphill battle, you know. So more than anything, I took the positive from that. Like, I've done this before. I've gone up against a guy that's supposed to be unbeaten, and I've taken him to task, you know. So when it's me and Jones, it won't be brand new. You know, when he walks into the cage, he won't look bigger. You know, he won't look like, man, this is John Jones. You know, it'll be like, I've done this time and time again and lost and didn't accomplish what I wanted to accomplish. And every single time I trained harder and made myself better. So I apply that to my mixed martial arts career.
No, it was, I mean, honestly, it shows, because that you could have went either way. You could have been like that guy Ray Finkel and from Ace Ventura, and that's all you think about. And then, like, you know, you have like a... You know, Cale Sanderson laces out, you know, things in your... So it shows, man. It shows what kind of a man you are, dude. And Honestly, yeah, I had to ask you about it. I debated whether I should bring this up because I'm like, I don't want to. What if I get into his head now? That's what he's thinking about and against Dan Henderson. I actually was like, didn't want to, but I had to know. I had to, you know, it was one of those things where I'm like, holy shit, man, this guy must have lived with this for a long time. And the fact that you're able to do what you do. Now, we got to ask you a couple of questions. So against Cain Velasquez, how's he doing? How's his training? Are you still training with him? What's going on there?
He's doing good. You know, he just got cleared by the doctors to train now. He's down in Vegas now, coaching Tough Latin America against Fabricio Verdun. So he's been gone for the last week. But, yeah, Kane's doing great, man. Kane filmed a big movie called Term Life with Vince Vaughn and the guy from Big Love and Mike Epps and a whole bunch of other people, you know, Bill Paxton. So he filmed a big movie down in Atlanta when he was hurt, and then now he's down in Vegas coaching the show. So yeah, he's busy, you know. So I'm going to see him next week, and he'll be at the fight, you know. So
I know you're going to be coaching as well?
I'm going to go and help a little bit as I can. You know, I just have a lot of responsibility now. I can't stay for 7 weeks to help coach, but I'll go in and out as much as I can and try and help, you know. It's a team thing, you know. A lot of times when these guys get these shows, it's those guys, but a lot of it also falls on his team because it's the team's opportunity to show how they're developing champions out of their gym, you know. So at least that's the approach we take at AKA. You know, we did it with Koscheck, and now we're doing it with Cain. Like Rockhold's down there with him now for the last 2 weeks, and then you know, I'm gonna pop in, and Josh Thompson's gonna pop in. So you try to use all your tools to try and help the team be successful.
Now, are you going to be surprised if you look across from Dan Hendo during the fight and he's drinking prune juice?
I'd be very surprised. Dan's a young 42 years old, man. You know, 40's the new 20. He's like a baby.
Okay, that was a question. I was
he's sponsored by Depends. That's one of his new sponsors.
Yes. Who's...
Oh my God, you guys are horrible.
Yeah,
you guys are terrible.
I'm happy that you lost the weight though, because otherwise you have to watch out for the right hand as well as what's it called again when you have too much sugar?
Diabetes.
I screwed up the joke. I screwed up my own joke. Sorry, I couldn't think of the word diabetes. I got nervous, man. I fucking choked. Now, all right. No. We do have a question though from Cali Kush on the Underground. He wants to hear Khabib's training stories from Cormier.
How Khabib trains?
Yeah, does Khabib bring it? Does he bring in a bear?
No, he doesn't. That dude's a machine, bro. Like, he works harder than just about anybody I've ever seen. Honestly, he tries. You know, his English is getting better, and he tries to keep up with the jokes. But he usually gets mad at us because we, you know, we're American, man. We make some pretty inappropriate jokes, and they don't do that in Russia. So Khabib fits in. And he's just like, he wants to work hard. He doesn't like all the merrymaking. He said that there's a lot of merrymaking whenever I'm around.
What's a merrymaking? What does that mean?
Everybody laughing at his expense. Idea,
wait.
Laughing and joking.
Wait, so what kind of jokes do you guys do about towards Khabib?
We don't. There's just things that we say, you know, if you're being a son of a bitch, I'll be like, Adam, my God, you're a son of a bitch. Well, they don't say stuff like that in Russia. They say that. It's almost like talking about his mom, I guess. So a lot of times we overstep the lines with Khabib just due to lack of
although he thinks he's really a son of a bitch. Oh man, he gets upset about that. Gotcha.
Well, he gets right in your face too. He's not fucking a person. Bro, what do you mean this? Why? Tell this.
Why you say this about my mother?
Why do you say? He's like, why do you say this? Like, we are all brothers. It's like, Khabib, just calm down, dude. We're fucking joking. Like, get your ass.
That's great. That's great, man.
Yeah, it's funny, man. But he works hard. He's a future champion, man. I mean, that dude, he's big, he's strong, he's got great cardio, he can wrestle. His grappling's on point. He doesn't miss any round of anything, you know. So we love having him. We've had him for over a year now, and obviously he's undefeated, like 23-0. It's insane.
Jesus. Do you spar with him often?
No, not very much. He's small, you know. But we do stuff in the red room where it's just like really light. We've never sparred hard, you know. But him and I spar in the red room where it's real light, and I try to hit him. You know, I try to jab him because if I can jab him a few times, I make fun of him, and he has to move his head, you know. So, we try to help him, man. He's a good fighter, and he works hard. So anytime we get people like that, that the young guys that work hard, they're committed, we all try to give them as much advice and as much help as we can.
How's Gray Maynard doing?
He's doing pretty good, man. Gray hasn't been there for a while, you know. Since his last fight, Gray had built a new house in Santa Cruz, and then he's been training out in Vegas. I think he's been training out in Arizona with Power MMA. So he's been kind of moving around a little bit. We see him on wrestling days at times, but that's pretty much it. He hasn't been around as much as he used to be.
Yeah, I mean, there's a guy, a perfect example of what I was trying to say before, of a guy who I heard in practice is just a beast, and then, you know, his last couple of fights hasn't really kind of it hasn't gone the way he would like it.
I think the break that Gray's taken now is going to help him a lot, because it'll give him some time to recover and just reassess how he wants to approach his fights, you know. Yeah, that'll be good for him.
Your whole team, man, your whole team's really, it's quite a team over there. I mean, between Maynard, between you and Kane, and then Josh Thompson. What do you think about Josh's chances of getting a title?
It'll be good, man. You know, he's got that fight against Michael Johnson in July, which I think should just put him right back in the mix, you know, because his fight with Benson was so controversial. It's not like he lost a clear-cut decision. Josh broke his hand in the first round of that fight. He lost a split decision to a guy that held the belt for 2 years. So that just goes to show you how close Josh is to the best guy in the weight division. He's a stud, man. For a long time, he's been a stud, too.
Yeah.
His fight against Melendez the same night that you fought Barnett was incredible, too.
Nuts. Every time. Him and Joe Melendez, no matter how many times they fight, they'll give you gold.
Yeah. Josh came to one of my shows. He's cool as hell. Oh, yeah, but he's definitely the man. Like, when Josh enters a room, you know he's in the room.
Right.
He's just like, he's the... a very alpha male guy, you know. He's just like that dude.
Yeah, he takes over.
Absolutely,
he takes over.
He's a good dude. Well, listen, DC man, all of luck to you, man. Best of luck to you. I really, really hope you win. I'm gonna be rooting for you, and I really think you're gonna get the belt, man. I do.
I stake my reputation on it.
There's only two people that I've been more confident with, you and Chris. I told Dana White, Chris Weidman was gonna be champion. Way before he was champion, I was right about that, and I'm telling you, you're gonna be the guy. You're gonna beat Henderson. You're then gonna beat John Jones. Then you and Kane are gonna have some kind of weird rivalry. You're gonna get a little fight. Then you're gonna beat Kane. You're gonna be the heavyweight champion and the 205 champion, and then down to 185.
Mark my words on this. He's gonna beat Hendo. Then they're gonna set up the fight with John Jones, and something's gonna happen where John Jones has to push the fight out again.
Really?
I guarantee that's going to happen. He's going to get an injury or something's going to happen where he's like, he can't fight.
You better be careful before John gets after your ass again.
Man, I don't care. I'm digging his ribs with these right hooks.
People, it's like I said, people are jumping off the bandwagon because Jones is driving it. And by the way, okay, so anyway, that's the show. Daniel Cormier, man, it's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Hey, Daniel, I got one more bone to pick with you before we hang up.
All right, bro, what's up?
You always say that when you come to town, we're going to do dinner or hang out, right? Last time you gave me a call a half hour before you wanted me to meet you in, like, Marina Del Rey. You're like, hey, man, meet me at Fogo de Chao in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm like, really? In a half hour?
I've got to give you some advance warning, bro. I mean, I'm just not the best planner.
Meet me in a half hour.
I'm not very good at planning, bro. Like, seriously.
Meet me in a half hour, 60 miles from your house in traffic.
Oh, man.
I'll give you about 45 minutes to an hour next time, okay?
I appreciate that, man. You're the best.
And I'll make sure to call you at 4. I'll make sure to call you at like 4:15 in the afternoon. Meet me at 5. In the heart of LA.
That's right.
Well, take care, man.
All right, boys. Thank you.
Later, DC. Lotus Flower Bomb.
All right, well, that was Daniel Cormier. I can't wait to watch his fight.
I love that dude.
I hope he wins, man. I'm a little nervous only because Hendo's got nothing to lose. You know, he's got nothing to lose.
Except his hip.
His dentures. Yeah, exactly. But I think
what's jacked up is I'm older than that guy, and I'm making jokes about how old he is.
Yeah, because it's funny, though.
It is funny.
Because, you know, it's not only that he's old, he's just been around for so long, you know.
Super cool guy, though.
Super cool, down there. I think he'd be laughing at these jokes, too, hopefully, yeah. If you could hear him.
if he turns up his sonic ear.
Our next guest is an awesome fighter. He He was actually the number one. He was up for the title shot, and he recently got hurt. He's been hurt for a while, and he was on a tear before that. He's guy's all heart, tough dude, badass fighter. TJ Grant, how are you, man?
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, man? I'm doing all right. How you doing?
I'm good. I remember the last time we talked to you, you had just gotten you were supposed to fight, but I think you were supposed to fight Ben Henderson, correct?
Yeah.
And then back in the summer. And then you had the concussion, and then you thought you were going to be cleared, but then you weren't cleared. What's been going on? Because I know a lot of the people want to know what's been going on.
You know, it's one of those things that kind of heal on their own. Concussions are—they're a bitch, I guess. I mean, I'm just doing everything I can, really, to get back at it. I haven't really, I haven't been back to full training or anything like that. Still having ups and downs. Overall, I'm getting better, but just that last little bit, it's tough to just get over that hurdle and get back to feeling 100% normal. That's really all I'm thinking about right now. Not really. I'd love to fight in Halifax when the UFC comes here in October, but again, these things, they heal on their own time, and I'm just, I'm trying to do everything I can to make it heal. But
okay, so let me get this straight. So it was a freak accident, right? It was like somebody ran into you during training, or landed on
you. Pretty much. I mean, I was just doing jiu-jitsu, and I got a foot in the head, and then later on, I just kind of used my head to kind of post out to stop a sweep in jiu-jitsu, and yeah, it was just total accident. But how many times when you're training do you post out with your head to stop a sweep? Like, it happens all the time. And it was right at the end of a roll, and then I was like, I didn't feel good, and it's kind of been the way it's been since.
Well, that's never happened to me because I don't train, but I'm sure it does happen to some people. it happened. Now, have you got a concussion since that happened, or was it just that one concussion?
It was just that, and I've had like setbacks, but no, I haven't been doing any contact where I've been getting hit to the head or anything like that. I just, just trying to figure out what kind of makes it, what triggers like symptoms and stuff like that is really where I'm at. It's, it's a slow thing, to get better. I wish, some people get better in a day. I mean, I never had any concussions that I can think of. I mean, like, where I've actually had like headaches or any type of symptoms after. I mean, I got knocked down in a fight before, and we all gotten hit in the head. So who knows, man? I'm just trying to, get better, and then I'll decide what's next for me.
But there are days, it sounds like, where you're like not feeling all there, and like you're worried about going back because you don't want that to be a permanent damage. Is that what you're thinking?
Well, you never want to, again, my health is all I really care about right now. So, my decisions as far as like, when I fight next, if I fight next, all that stuff is going to just, that's going to be done when I feel 100% and when I get back into training. I love the sport. I got myself to a position where, I was so close, but at the same time, my health and all that is completely number one. So
yeah, absolutely, man. I mean,
my goal is to fight again, but, I'm not going to be stupid about it. If I am going to do it, I'm going to definitely have to reconsider a lot of the things, a lot of things like sparring and all that other stuff.
Yes, it seems.
Yeah,
like,
we'll see, man. We'll see. I mean,
it seems like a lot of guys are going through that right now, where they're. I think because the sport is relatively new compared to other sports, and it seems like a lot of guys are kicking back on the sparring because it seems like that's where the damage is getting, and they're not training as hard. I mean, you heard it from Robbie Lawler. I heard it from Isaac Valley Flag. Other guys are just, they're kind of saying, maybe I don't have to go all out in sparring, and I don't have to take so much damage.
Yeah, I've always had good partners. Like, we never try to completely kill each other. We push each other pretty hard, but I mean, I know like of a lot of places where guys are getting like knocked down or knocked out in sparring. And I mean, that never really happens in my gym, but, I've heard of that happening, but again, even the little ones and getting hit and all the time, frequently, you wear bigger gloves and headgear to protect your brain. But, basically it's very hard to get out of the way of punches when you have an extra inch and a half on each side of your head that makes your head a bigger target. So you're still getting an impact. And then the gloves are bigger. So, maybe it's better to spar with little smaller gloves, no headgear, and just make sure that you really are careful with how hard you go and all that stuff. You know, you got to just kind of work towards a cause and just trying to get better. And sometimes when you're teeing off on each other, it's just, you know, the alpha male comes out and you know, you have these wars in the gym where you just can't be controlled. You know, two guys are in there, and no matter what the coaches are saying, they're at each other. So
I mean, don't you think maybe because you're Canadian, you have a thicker skull?
It's possible. You know, I definitely got a thick skull.
Did you grow up playing hockey?
You know what? I didn't. I grew up in a family of five boys. Only one of my brothers played hockey, but you know, with the town I'm from, it's pretty big into hockey. They've got some Nathan McKinnon and Sidney Crosby are both from here. I mean, it's definitely big here. Personally, me, I never really played it.
Now, I know, TJ, I got to say, man, you're one of my favorite fighters. I love watching you fight, and I totally, 100% respect and, you know, applaud your decision to take some time off and heal yourself, but you are very missed. And I know you're a beloved fighter, by the way. I mean, Canadians, all fight fans love TJ Grant. I know, how are you passing your days? Are you married? Do you have kids? What are you doing with your downtime?
Well, actually, yeah, I had my wife. She's now my wife. We got married in October, but we had our first kid last April. So she just turned a year old, and you know, that's been keeping me pretty busy. And you know, just I still am working out and getting fit and doing all that stuff. And you know, I got a baby to keep me busy as well. So that's about it, man. I mean, I keep it simple. You know, my goal right now is just to get myself to 100%, and then, you know, I'll decide what's next.
And boy or girl?
Boy or girl, yeah.
Girl, yeah.
Casey. Yeah!
Nice. How now, are you having to work on another job, or did you save up enough money? Or?
Well, I mean, I got a little bit of money, but yeah, I'll probably have to start, you know, thinking about something else. You know, I didn't make enough money in the UFC to live on forever. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens next, man. I'm just, you know, I'm trying to get better. I'm kind of in that position right now where I got to kind of decide what I'm going to do. But who knows, man? Who knows?
Would you consider opening your own school?
You know, that's something I always kind of wanted to do. But, you know, I don't know. That's also maybe not always, you know, that's a lot of money to start one and then, you know, are you going to really ever make a lot of money doing that? I definitely want to, you know, teach and coach and help out. And I love the sport. I would love to stay involved with the sport if I don't fight anymore. But who knows, man? I'm just worrying about me right now, just trying to get better. And, you know, I got to think about some things.
Now, I was looking through some of your fights last night. I was going through Fight Pass, and I got to ask you some questions. So, like, your first UFC fight was against Rio Chonin. And, you know, that guy, he was a legend. You know, he has a victory over Anderson Silva. You know, he's beaten some huge guys. And then you fought him in Canada. How nervous were you going into that fight?
Not really nervous at all. I don't know. I always get nervous leading up to a fight, you know, in my preparation. But I find once I go to the actual fight week and I get on that plane to go wherever I need to go, I usually calm down quite a bit. There's always some stress and some anxiety. You know, you have a few nights there, maybe the fight night or the night before the fight where you don't necessarily get as many hours of sleep as you want. But, you know, you're rested up. I was good to go for that fight. I felt good. I felt confident. And, you know, I just didn't want to get to the big stage and shit the bed. I wanted to go out there and, you know, try to do my best. Whether I won or lost, I wanted to go out there and fight. And, you know, I did all right. I mean, I made some mistakes in the fight when I watched it, but you know, I was overall pretty pleased just the fact that I got to go out there and win in Montreal.
Yeah, no, that was awesome. And you also, you know, you had some you know, major takedowns in that fight, and it was pretty awesome. I remember hearing Goldberg say that you thought that you couldn't strike with him, but your corner was telling you that you were good enough to actually strike with him. So that was
Yeah, I mean, I grew up I started out with a grappling background, and I spent equal time training my striking once I decided to turn professional. But I always took the path of least resistance in my fights. You know, if I felt like I could take a guy down and submit him, you know, that's what I did for a lot of the beginning of my career. And, you know, I always was working on my striking, and I worked hard on it. I felt good about it in the gym, but, you know, it's another story when you don't have an amateur kickboxing or boxing background to go in there to start throwing the dogs and throwing caution to the wind a little bit. And, you know, that was one of those fights where that was definitely a huge part of the game plan. And, but also to put him on his back was a big part. And that was kind of like where I started to figure out, okay, like I can, you know, I can strike pretty good and I can do what I need to do. I can hold my own. But I always kept like kind of a humble approach. I always try to envision my opponent as being like this, you know, unbeatable badass dude, so that it brings out the very best in me and my training and in my fights. So, you know, it's kind of a moment where I was like, you know, he's pretty slow. He doesn't move his head at all. And I felt good after that.
And it was awesome. And it must've been awesome also in Canada. Talk about your striking. I was watching your fight last night against Matt Wyman, and you hit him with some elbows that I've never seen. Those were some of the most vicious elbows. And I know his nickname was Handsome. Now, when you were hitting them, were you thinking, who's handsome now?
Yeah, I kind of, you know, Matt was actually a really good dude. I fought on the same card as him, you know, a few times before that, and he's one of those guys that, you know, I always had good conversations with. And when it was time to fight him, I kind of was like, okay, you know, I really like this guy. You know, I had to do what I had to do. Once I hit him and I hurt him, you know, from there it's just, don't let him off the hook. That's kind of where I went with it, and had to put him away, man.
You got to do what you got to do. I mean, and that's the thing about you, man. Exactly. A lot of guys, when they get these guys hurt, they kind of go, you know, they have a little bit of they say, you know, a wounded animal is when it's most dangerous, and they kind of. But you, when you have a guy hurt, you go in for the kill. You're like a trained assassin in there. For example, when you had Gray Maynard hurt. I mean, you went right after him. You were a pretty big underdog in that fight. He was landing some big shots. How hurt were you when Maynard was landing some of those punches?
I mean, I wasn't hurt, but, I mean, they were hard. Like, that was one of the hardest I've ever been hit in my life, definitely. I mean, he definitely hits. He packs a good punch. He hit me with a couple of shots. My ears are ringing. I mean, my body felt like, you know, it wasn't locked up. Like, you know, when people get dropped or they get hit and their body freezes. Like, I wasn't like that, but, you know, my ears are ringing. And, you know, when I hurt a guy, though, it's just, you know, for me, that's, I find the fighting itself is really easy. Like, the training's hard, all that other stuff, but when I get to actually fight, I usually, you know, don't feel nervous. I really want, like, combat. You know, not a lot of guys, you know, you see them fight and they don't really, they're just trying to win, or they're trying to point guys. And for me, like, I mean, might not throw 100% behind every punch, but there's some sort of bad intention, and every punch is, for me, is leading towards putting the guy away, or, you know, everything I do is trying to take a guy out. And so when I do get that opportunity, I'm not going to, you know, try my best not to let it go.
Yeah, no, I mean, you definitely you definitely put a hurting on people. I know in your early career, you didn't have a beard. And then you grew a beard. Now, some people think having a beard helps as far as absorbing punches. You having had a beard and or having one now and having not before, does it help?
I think it just adds to my mojo a little bit. But no, I never had a beard my whole life until it was before I fought Kevin Burns. I was down training in Cincinnati with George Grigel and his team, and everybody there had a beard, and I was like, yeah, you know what, I'm away from home, I'll see what this looks like. And I grew it out, and then that was pretty much, like, there's been like a few weeks here and there where I haven't had a beard, but since 2009 I've been pretty much rocking one steady. You know, I just, my wife tells me I look like a pussy when I don't have one, so
Oh my God.
I gotta keep her happy.
Well, yeah, gotta keep. Now, I find sometimes wives get angry, though, because when you're hitting them, you know, with women, when you're having oral sex, sometimes you get confused whose beard it is, or, you know, there could be some.
If it's your beard or the
I'm not going to speak about her beard. I don't. Okay. Or her lack of beard.
Okay. So, okay. All right, good. Because, I mean, I know sometimes it's like cold in Canada, and, you know, women, they want to, you know. So your wife is totally shaved.
Hey, no comment.
All right, no comment, no comment. No comment. All right. So
nobody listens to this podcast, right?
Yeah, nobody listens to this. Okay. Also Now Carlos Prater, when you fought him, I watched that fight again. It looked like he had herpes on his lip during that fight. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I did.
Did you kind of zero in on it like a target? Like it was just a beacon waiting to be split open?
I mean, were you nervous about were you nervous about going to the ground with him because you might catch it?
Oh!
No, it's all good, man. It was on his lip, man. It's all good. I don't even want to get into that, man. Carl, he's a nice guy.
He is a nice guy.
But I did notice it. I will say I did notice it. I did see it. And it was a good size.
So was it gross?
All right, next question. All right, so you were the Canadian provincial wrestling champion. Is that a real league?
Well, yeah. I mean, I was a provincial wrestling champion when I was just in high school.
I'm just kidding. Okay.
But I was never like a Canadian national champion or anything like that. I was just provincial. Like, you know, you guys have state champs. Yeah. We have provincial champs.
Okay. All right. Because I actually wrestled a kid from Canada one time, and the kid would have beaten me. But they, I think it's like mostly freestyle up there, right? It's not folk style, isn't it? Mostly.
Yeah. I don't even really know. Folk style is confusing to me, but.
Yeah, because the kid would have beat me, but he kept doing freestyle moves and was like putting himself in terrible positions. Yeah, but otherwise he would have won. Now I know recently you were taken off the rankings for inactivity. Did that crush you? Did you care? I mean, what? Tell us about that.
No, I mean, like, to me, rankings are stupid anyway. Like, you know, I can totally understand, you know, me being. I was ranked number 3 right before that. I can understand them moving me or taking me. Like, guys have to get opportunities that are, you know, behind. They have to, you know, if someone's not available to fight, say Josh Thompson or whoever, the guys at the top are not available to fight, you know, these other guys have to get opportunities. The show goes on. But, you know, there was just no communication of that to me. Like, you know, I found out through, like, Twitter or something like that. And, you know, that was more what I was upset with. I can totally see why. I don't think that I'm not in good standings. I think that, you know, when I do get back to fighting, I'm sure I'll be in a good spot. I know that I'm not going to have a guaranteed title shot. I accepted that when I, you know, had to pull out of two title shots. But you know, it is what it is, man. I don't think rankings are all that important anyway. I think it's about going out there and having good performances. You know, they're not going to put a guy in even if he won his last 10 fights, if he's putting people to sleep, like the fans. I mean, if he's putting the fans to sleep, you know, who wants to see that guy fight for a title? So
it's so funny.
You
know,
it's all about going out there and making a statement.
It's so funny. It's like a lot of times on this show, the guys who are ranked the highest don't care about rankings. And the guys who aren't in the top 10 are like, I want to rank. You know, it's always like, yeah, you always want what you don't have, you know. I know that Ben Henderson said the exact same thing, that rankings don't mean anything. I mean, especially like, you know, you got a guy like Matt Brown was ranked number 7, and he was the underdog against Eric Silva, which... who's ranked 14.
That didn't make any sense.
It made absolutely no sense.
MMA math at its best.
Who cares, man? I made some money.
I gotta ask you, how long did you train in Thailand for, and what was that experience like?
I've been there 5 times, each time for about close to a month. It's good, man. It's really good. Just to get away from all of life's responsibilities, really, and be able to just train and walk out your door and you're right in a gym where you're going to train. You know, they cook for you, and you're not also forced to always try to cram in getting wrestling in and jiu-jitsu. All you're doing is Muay Thai the whole time. So, you know, you really submerge yourself in it, and, you know, you get to watch a lot of really great fighters too training. I mean, if you want to truly, you know, excel and be great, you got to look at, you know, great fighters, and you got to study them and just see how they move, and, you know, always want to better yourself. And that's a great, great place to do it. I mean, and then what you take from there is you get home, you keep working at it. And, you know, hopefully over time you can start kind of doing what they do. I mean, we've always done a great job. Like when we get back, everything we've you know learned in Thailand, trying to apply it with our training back home.
Yeah, although so I find some guys, it all like Mike Swick was a guy who I thought it seemed like he was better before he went there. But some guys, I feel like they rely on it too much, or something goes wrong where they, you know, they forget about the other elements of it.
Four floors of horrors. That's, you know, what happens.
Yeah, Phil Baroni loves it over there because the four floors of horrors he talks about. But but you know, I've seen it go the other way too, where guys spend too much time focusing on Muay Thai and not off the ground. But I think a guy like, I mean, maybe Mike Swick's a bad example, but I think a guy like you definitely took, you know, you could see it in a lot of your fights where you're just throwing crazy elbows and knees, and you're like, wow. And finally, the final question. So I know you're from Canada. Another amazing fighter from Canada, Justin Bieber. What are your thoughts on Bieber?
I don't know. I think he's kind of a douchebag, but
here.
You know, he's really rich, and you know, I can't really hate him for that. But you know, I don't know. He's Justin Bieber, man. He's kind of a little goof.
Okay, all right. So you're not defending him. It seems like Canadians are. They either go either way. They like defend him, or they just very.
No, there's no
him.
Defending.
Yeah,
him
I was gonna say that I don't know anybody that defends that hump.
My little 12-year-old cousin likes him.
Oh.
All right. Well, listen, TJ Grant, you are a man of few words, but you're a great man, man. And I like know that you didn't really want to do this interview, and I kind of coaxed you into it, and I'm really happy you did, man, because I am a fan, and I know that, you know, when your name gets brought up, people get really happy because they want to see you fight, and they're you have a huge fan base, and keep your head up, dude, because shit happens, man. You know, but I'm sure that you know it's not about how many times you get knocked down, sometimes you get up, and you seem to, you know, keep coming over, overcoming all these obstacles, and it's, you know, I'm sure you'll be back kicking ass, what I'm trying to say, dude.
Well, I appreciate that, man. Thank you very much. Glad to be on.
It's the truth. Well, take care, TJ.
Later, man.
Well, I'd like to thank all our guests for coming on. Daniel Cormier, thank you for coming on. Sarah Kaufman, thank you for coming on. TJ Grant, thank you for coming on. Thank you to Sunfair for sponsoring us.
Carl Farrow.
And for feeding us. I think it was a great show.
It was a dynamite show. I had a lot of fun this week. Happy birthday to you, by the way.
Thank you. I got to get back to work.
Wow.
I haven't said that in a long time.
I can't believe you're actually saying that.
Yeah, I don't really want to go back to work. It's like my first day. No, I'm enjoying it. I'm blessed to have a job like that. It's a privilege. Nice. So thank you, DJ Shrope, for being
thanks, DJ.
Being the best producer in the game. You're one of one.
You're the best producer in this room.
Thank you. Good luck to our boy, Jake Ellenberger.
You're sorely missed around here.
Yeah, you really are, man. Definitely smells like sex around here without you. So you can follow us at Adam Comedian, at MMA Roasted, at Todd Rex,
2 D's, 2 X's.
At DJ Shrope, at Ellenberger MMA, and at Sunfair, and at Fox Sports.
Thank you, so, Fox Sports.
Take care.